You are listening to the Life is Not Complicated, You Are Strong Opinions podcast, produced by Charles Andrews, with your host, best-selling author.
Identify yourself.
Carlos Wallace. Best-selling author.
All right, we're back with you on the Life is Not Complicated Strong Opinions podcast with Ashley Simone Alexa Smith, a.k.a. The Kid.
Hey.
What's good?
Nothing, you know, hanging out with you guys, with you lovely people.
Man, I tell you what. Some of y'all may not know her. This is Liz's brilliant daughter. Y'all hear Liz talk about her all the time. Now she's going to get a chance to defend herself. and counter some of Liz's actions.
Hopefully it doesn't come to that, but
let's go for it. I love it. I love it. Now, I'm going to tell you on the previous episode, I was interviewing your mother, and she said something about your age, and I said you was damn near 40. Mm-hmm. It was just a joke, tongue in cheek. It was a joke.
Right.
So we're going to clear that up. You're 25.
You know, I'm that middle, mid-20s. Just trying to hustle.
But you're doing well.
Trying to hustle, thank you.
Doing well, you're in the medical industry.
It's nice to be appreciated sometimes.
Oh, for, hey, listen.
A lot of people don't appreciate the hustle, so.
I do, because I'm a part of it, man. Mm-hmm. You know, a kid asked me the other day, have I figured out in life what I wanted to do? I said, man, I woke up this morning still confused. 47.
I change every day.
Every day.
With my end goal. Like, I stopped trying to make an end goal because it's like, it's always going to change.
The constant world
is
evolution.
Always changing. Something always triggers me to be like, oh, no, maybe I should look into this. Maybe I should look into that. And my thing is, like, I'm trying to go for everything. I'm not just trying to limit myself to one thing anymore.
Why would you do that?
That was putting me in, like, a box.
Why would you do that?
Why would I do what?
Put yourself in the box.
Of course, yeah. Like, it was on some wall. This has to get done at this time, and this has to be done like this. And then it was just like, it wasn't working out. Like, I was driving myself crazy.
That's it. You just drive yourself
exactly.
Crazy. No, it's no limit to what it is you can do. And, like, of course, there's certain guidelines, certain rules to certain things. But, like, to what you can become in life, like, it's limitless.
Exactly.
Do it all. Do it all, man. So what made you choose the medical field? Like, what made you want to do that?
Because the medical field is always going to have a job. And there's things that's limitless what you can do in the medical field. Like, you could take on radiology, you could take on respiratory, little, like, specialties that you don't think that there is for something, there is for something. So it's like, you know, it makes me think, like, what do I want to do next? What do I want to do next? And there's always a next in the medical field. So it's like, okay, I did this, I liked it, let me go further. Or this introduced me to something else, let me go further. It's always like that in the medical field, so.
Continued discovery.
Yeah, and you're going to get a job. And you could build up from that.
Somebody always sick.
Somebody's always sick. Someone's either sick or stupid, and you just gotta be there. You know? You just gotta be there.
I love it. That's funny. I mean, it's not funny. It is.
Hindsight, yes, it is. Because there have been some situations where I look back and I'm like, wow.
Why?
Like,
the why and the wow.
Unbelievable.
Like, I'm always saying in politics, they continuously make laws for idiots. You know, when they, you know, take the seatbelt. I mean, they don't have to tell people with intelligence to wear a seatbelt to make yourself safer. You know, like.
And yet millions of us do not.
Like,
and that's what it's like. Are we all just stupid?
Yeah.
At some point.
Just here lately in Texas, they passed a law that said in freezing temperatures, you can't leave your pets outside.
And it's like, okay, well, you know, a logical human being would bring their animal in from the freaking storm.
So we don't need a law to tell you to do that.
At all.
Intelligence.
But you do, because people, they probably made that law for a reason.
For an idiot.
Exactly. Like, someone left their cat outside or their dog outside.
And it froze to death.
Maybe they were taking up too much heat. Like, sometimes you have to ration. Like, a lot of reasons, but yeah. You should bring your animals inside.
You know what I mean? Like, come on, man. If you don't care enough about the animal to keep it from freezing, why have the animal?
And it's like working as an EMT, like a lot of those questions, not even a lot of the questions, I have more questions now about people. Like, I wonder about people when I walk into certain situations, and it's just like, how did we get here? Like, tell me what led up to this. This is, like, my favorite question that I like to ask at work. Like, what led up to this? How did this happen?
So, like, what are some of the craziest things you've seen in, like, emergency-type situations?
Emergency types, you get your motor vehicle accidents, your car crashes. I haven't had a gunshot yet. Surprisingly, in New York, I haven't had a gunshot wound. I've had a delivery. That was probably the craziest. Not even crazy. That was the best thing I've done, the most fulfilling thing I've done. Mm. As an EMT, is deliver a baby. Mm. But it's like, nothing is crazy anymore at this point. Mm-hmm. We're just like, oh, what's the craziest thing you've seen? I'm like, everything.
Like, I watched that show 911.
That is a little bit dragged, but yes, continue. It's dragged.
And I see some crazy stuff. Like, I know it's probably hard for you to watch. You know, I was in the military, so it's hard for me to watch Navy movies. Because some things, like, come on, it's just not like that. Mm-hmm. And working for the railroad or working for the prison, it's hard for me to watch prison movies or railroad movies. Because it's just, like, it's not realistic, bro. Right?
Come on.
So on 9/11, a couple of episodes ago, there was a girl that had her head stuck in a tailpipe. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so what made you put your head in a tailpipe? What type of bet was that?
Yeah, they said it was a bet, right?
Yeah, and I'm like, so what made you take on the damn bet? And when they showed up,
alcohol.
They had to cut the tailpipe off, of course. Mm-hmm. And the guy was upset because they had to cut his tailpipe.
Because it was some special edition tailpipe.
It was a special edition. So do you guys see crazy things like that?
I haven't. I haven't had things like that. It's mostly we do a lot of wellness checks, so you see how people live, and that's kind of crazy to me, how people live. That's the one that really hits me, like, hard a lot, is because people are really doing bad.
Wow.
Like, on a regular basis. Wow. A lot of people.
It makes you appreciate your life, right?
Very much so. Sometimes, like, during the blizzards or, like, during the heat waves, I'm like, yo, you have to really thank God, like, that you have a roof over your head.
Right.
You have somewhere to go at night. Because we have to often pick people up, like during the blizzards, we have to pick people, like if we see bums on the street, mm-hmm. we have to pick them up and bring them to a shelter. And it's like, you know, it sucks.
I didn't think about that.
Because a lot of people are like, I've heard time and time again, like, oh, I was just like you when I was younger. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, I had everything going for me, and then it's like 1, 2, 3. Like, the run.
So also, the homeless people saying those type things
to you? Yeah, a lot of people I met in like really bad situations, whether health-wise or like, you know, where they live, environment-wise, it's like, a lot of people are like, I've been where you are, and I had like everything going for me, and you know, life just took a turn, and now here I am, either with no money, living with government assistance, like the worst health conditions, and it's like crazy. So people are always telling me, like, count your blessings, and it's true. It's very true. It's very humbling.
Now that's something I bet a lot of young people don't think about. Like, you know, to see their life in 20 years or 30 years, you know, I'm twice your age, but some people look at a homeless person and think, oh, he must have been an alcoholic, or he must have gambled all his money away, or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, he put himself in that position, and he was never in my position, you know? He never had a job. And they never stopped to think that, hey, one day that guy was also a railroad engineer. One day that guy was an EMT. One day that guy was a news anchor or a journalist or whatever. And things, you know, the blocks fell, and he went from high to low. And you never know what circumstances, you know, what happened to cause that.
Could have been out of his or her control. And that's how you know, they can't avoid certain things. Like, you can't avoid a stock market crash, you know.
Right.
You can't avoid, like, having a heart attack and not being able to work, and now you can't support your family. Like, so many things. And I was having an argument about this with someone, like, the other day on some, why should I have to help you? Like, you know, people say, why should I have to help you?
Right.
I'm hardworking. Why don't you go and get a job? And I'm like, it's not always that easy. I'm sure if they wanted to go get a job, you know, they could go get a job. And a lot of it is mental health.
Right.
And which is also very important now. Like, you have to really look at someone's mental health.
Right.
Because a lot of people can't get back up, even though they want to, or they don't even realize the situation that they're in.
Right.
You know, I went to the train station the other day, and I see the same guy there who lives basically in the train station, and he's always there. He's a nice guy. You know, we even had a couple conversations. He's always there reading a book, so he obviously came from something. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. he seems like a very intellectual man, mm-hmm. but, you know, he just has a terrible circumstance that he's in.
Right.
So you can't really sit there and judge somebody and wonder why they're not, you know, bouncing back like they should.
Right.
Because, you know.
It's not as simple.
Exactly.
I was, you know, I do a lot of work with Google, and there was a part of Google that donates computers, right, to inner city youth in different situations. And there was a situation down south where there were students that had to ride the bus for an hour. They were being bused from wherever they lived into the schools where they had to go. And it was like an hour commute daily. And the situation where they thought the answer to some of the problem was, how about Google just donate computers so the kids could just do the homework on the bus? Well, what about some of the they don't know how to operate the computer. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get a computer all you want, but if I don't know how to operate the computer, what good does that do? You know what I mean? So there's still a void that has to be filled. Like, someone has to teach them how to operate the computer. So you can give the homeless person $10,000, but if they don't know what to do with the $10,000,
exactly,
it doesn't matter. Exactly. You know what I mean? So, and I think that's what people don't understand. Like, the money is not the answer as much as it is the intelligence or what to do with the money, and or whatever it is you're going to give them, right?
Right.
I mean, I remember when I first moved to Houston, there was an abundance of elderly people dying from heat exhaustion in their homes. And I see this on TV, and I felt bad, and I was like, man, I want to donate air conditioners. And I had this great idea, and I was like, man, I'm just going to start donating air conditioners, man. You know, and I go to Home Depot, and I talk to them. I was like, man, a window air conditioner is like $100. And I tell them what I want to do, and they say, hey, we'll give it to you at this special rate, tax-free, yada, yada, yada. And I said, that's what I want to do. So I call Emily Aiken. She was a news lady in Houston, and she worked with inner city, things like that. And she goes, well, we got to get a construction company that's willing to install them, because you need someone that'll put the bracket in, and then to create this specialized socket. I didn't know anything about any of that. Like, and I was like, oh, damn, that's I'm glad I have these
parts. Exactly.
Because you don't think of all those. You just think air conditioner.
You have this grand idea, but you have to execute it.
There's way more, right. There's way more to it. And so there's always like this combined effort to reach a plausible resolution. Mm-hmm. And until we work together as a community, we can't fix it. You know what I mean? And I wish everyone would just stop to think about that. And it's a lighter load on all of us when we do, you know?
Not one person or a group of people trying to combat this monster.
That's right.
And it just turns into, that's when people start giving up on things, because it's like, okay, well, this is not working out.
Yeah, like, I can't tackle it by myself. And just do what you do. A lot of times, just do what it is you do. You know what I mean? Some people can only donate money. Some people can only donate time. So you donate money, I donate time, and let's make it work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Man, that's the first segment, man. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with the kid. All right, we're going to take a break on the Life is Not Complicated Strong Opinions podcast. The biggest reward for me is how much it has inspired students.
I think something that really opened my eyes was when he said, everybody knows the information in this book already, it just takes a little bit of reminding. And that really opened my eyes to how I perceived the book from there on. So I really think it affected, it was overall positive impact on my life.
When I visit campuses and classrooms and see the excitement on their face and, of course, overwhelm me with questions, that's my biggest reward. That's what I enjoy the most.
To purchase Life is Not Complicated, You Are, or the other 99 times, or download the audio versions, please visit CarlosWallace.com.
You are listening to the Life is Not Complicated, You Are Strong Opinions podcast.
All right, we're back with you on the Life is Not Complicated Strong Opinions podcast with the kid. All right. Oh, man. So let's dive right on in, man.
Let's do it.
So how big of a role did your mother play in your role, in your life? Like, I know, but we're gonna share it with everybody else.
The question is, how could she, like, how did she not play a role in my life? She's all I had. So she's the only one that, you know, I wouldn't want to say she's the reason I do what I do, but she's the reason, like, I get up in the morning and I try and hustle and I want to get this job and that job. Like, I would really love to make my mom proud. And we butt heads, obviously, as two women in the house. But at the end of the day, like, we have that love for each other that's, you know, unconditional, I feel. So it's like, how did she not mold my life or for me to be the woman that I am today? I'm trying to think about it. Like, there's no way that she didn't, you know. I think my mom's awesome.
Now, when you had her comedy shows. And she on there making all these jokes about all the plates you broke and the tile you have chipped on the floor and some of the stuff exaggerated. I know.
Mad dragging it, dude.
And you just dying laughing because I'm looking at you.
Because it's a joke. I've had friends. I've had friends YouTube her.
Right,
and
right.
They're like, "This is your mom." Like, I have. There's a line of people waiting to meet my mom. And I'm like, mm-hmm, we'll see. You'll see what's up when you meet her.
It's mad funny.
Something else. It's that funny. Woman. Something else. I don't know anyone like her at all.
I think that's good. Yeah. I think that's good. Yeah.
We're gonna. But yeah, it's a good. It's a good thing.
We don't need but one.
Yeah, we don't need another Liz. Mm-hmm. The one Liz we have is perfect though.
It's five or six of them in her head. Yeah.
And they're all crazy.
Well, you know. We wouldn't have it any other way. Whew, all right. So, with the women's movement right now, man, like, you living in a good time. So, like, you jump in with the women empowerment, like, the organized structure, the walks and all of that. Do you take part in them or, like...
I don't take part. I admire what these women are doing from afar, and I know when I do have an opinion on something, I definitely speak it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like women's rights is moving up, but there's a lot that we have to work on still.
Yeah.
And I feel like women have to, like, the most important thing is, like, women have to stick together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, just what we were talking about, like, when you want a goal, we have to all stick together to achieve that goal. And I hate when I see women beefing with each other over stupidity.
Like Cardi B and Nicki.
Exactly. And it's like, yeah, you know, Cardi B's mad real. And, you know, I'm happy that she did that. Da, da, da. But it's like, okay, you still have young girls watching this thinking that this is okay.
Right, right.
No matter how real you are, like, you still have to carry yourself better than that. Like,
right.
You know, that blew mine when I saw everybody was like, you know, laughing, thinking it's a joke, and da 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 da. And I'm just like, this is stupid.
And she's like your age. Like, she's like 25, right? 25, yep. 26.
And it's like, yeah, I love what Cardi did. She's moving up, but continue to move up. Don't go back down and do stupidity like that in front of all these people looking at. That's why people have a certain opinion about how, like, especially as African American women or a woman of color, like, come on, like, don't act like that. I feel like that about the men too. Like, it's just a lot to see, and sometimes it bothers me.
Yeah, act your wage, man.
Act your age, like, you know, you have to represent because people are watching us. People are always watching us.
Yep.
You know? So, that's very important. We really have to stick together. We have to do better, guys.
I like that.
We have to do better. We're doing good, but we have to do better.
So what's your biggest fear, like your biggest disappointments? I guess fears first. Let's talk about the biggest fears. In life.
My biggest fear is to be, like, stagnant, you know, to not, I often get anxiety about, like, what I have to do, like, to get to where I'm going, like, I have to do that, because I'm, like, scared of, I guess, failing, or I'm scared of not getting to where I need to be. I'm scared of looking back and being like, damn, like, you know, now what? Like, what do I have to show for all the work that I'm putting in, you know? So that has to be one of my biggest fears.
What about disappointments?
Mm, So far, I don't know. I feel like I've had a really good life up until now. You know, I haven't had any crazy losses. I have a good family. You know, obviously little disappointments here and there with relationships or, you know, people in my life, because I keep a very small circle. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't talk to a lot of people. So when I get disappointed by somebody that, you know, I trusted and I love, you know, I guess you could call that a fear too, because that scares me. Me giving my all to somebody or putting my trust in somebody, whether it be a relationship that I'm in, a family member or something, and having it thrown back in my face, like, that's a fear and I guess a disappointment too. I would definitely say.
And, you know, today, a lot of the youngsters, I guess I get confused on definition. You know, with, like you said, the keeping it real. Mm-hmm. And it's, man, she mad real. And I'm like, keeping it real, fighting and acting, wilding. Like, yeah. How is that real, right? So I know that has to be a concern with you and probably the reason you keep such a small circle. Because I know you. And I know you are one of the youngsters with good sense that I say, like, nah, she ain't going for that.
I try.
I can see something, I'll be like, nah, she ain't, nah.
Because you know what's up.
Yeah, she ain't going to be a part of that. You know, because, and there are probably a mass crowd that be like, yeah, she a punk, or whatever the hell, right? And that's a hard balance, because you don't want to be a part of the big crowd, because that ain't what you're trying to do. But at the same time, you just moving the way you move, right?
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it to keep that balance?
A little bit, because, you know, you always want to be down with the crowd.
Right.
You don't want to be the one everyone's looking at like, oh, she's boring or she's bougie or she's this and that. But it's really like you really have to be careful with who you let into your circle, who you associate yourself with, and even who you have altercations with, because I was talking about this the other day also, like, you can't just go out and beef with anybody you want to beef with. People are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care if somebody says, oh, she's soul, she's this, she's that. I'm not trying to get stabbed. I'm not trying to get shot. You know, I have a future that I'm looking forward to, so I'm not trying to mix and dibble and dabble with strange things and strange people and, you know, just come out and start arguing with whoever I want to argue with or, you know. People are a lot crazier than you are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, you might be the toughest one on the block, but there's someone tougher than you.
Always.
Who has nothing to lose.
Always.
So it's like, you know, I'm good. I'll be over here doing my thing. That's how I look at it.
Your mom, actually, she wrote a joke, man, that was talking about having those girlfriends, and it's more like in your relationship, that talk to you about your relationship, that'll talk you into burning down your house,
right?
You know, literally, you know, figuratively speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're sitting on the curb with your house behind you burning with nowhere to go. Say, yo, my house is burning, can I stay with you tonight? And we're like, nah, man,
right?
Because my man say you messy, you can't come to my house. Like, so they've talked you into burning your house down, but they won't invite you to theirs.
They won't even have a place to stay after that.
That's not your friend. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't
some know. People will label friends too fast. Like, that's not your friend.
That is so true.
Yeah. And I think people don't understand that. Like, they too quick to say, yeah, that's my friend. No, it's not.
Friend, sister, cousin, this, that. And I'm like, really? I'm here for 2 seconds.
So. Yeah, exactly.
Tell me what's my favorite color.
Yeah,
like, exactly. You know?
A funny story I shared with your mom when I was still working. I had this labor dispute with our HR person. We were arguing about a labor situation, and I was a union rep. And we took a lunch break, and she's like, can I sit down with you guys? Because Carlos, I want to finish our conversation. It was like 8 of us at this table. And I said, sure, Sharon. She's like, hey, yada, yada, yada. And I said, look, Sharon, we're not going to agree, all right? And she's like, well, I hope we can just get up from this table and remain as friends. And I said, Sharon, I have a wife. Do you know her name? She goes, no. I have 2 children. Do you know their names? She says, no. I said, I own a home. Have you ever been to my house? She says, no. I said, my friends would have said yes to all 3.
Right.
We are not friends. Mm-hmm. We're colleagues. And your mom was like, man, you crazy. I can't believe you would say that. I was like, that's just the truth.
Yeah. Like, let people know.
We're too quick to say friend. Lady, you're not my friend. We work together. I don't even really like doing that. I don't even like you at work.
Right.
Like, we're not friends.
You have to really remind people. Like, sometimes I have to let somebody know, like, you're just a friend by default.
By default. Like, I just happen to know you. Yeah. Like, listen, if we didn't work at the same place at the same time, I wouldn't even know you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I wouldn't know you.
Exactly.
I don't care about your baby. It's not that I don't care about your baby. I don't care about your baby.
Right.
If the picture wasn't on the desk, I wouldn't even know you had a baby.
Exactly.
Like, it's... Hey,
nor do they try and inquire about yours, so it's like...
There you go. You don't care about my child, right. So why don't... You know what I mean? Like, they keep that in perspective, man.
And that makes you question somebody's everything. If they're over here calling you a friend, they don't really know you. So how do you really pick your friends? Like, how are you living your life to the fact that you could just call someone your friend like
Absolutely.
That? It's crazy to me, because my friend is someone I've known... 17 years,
that's
and
right.
I'm only 25.
There you go.
I knew her a majority of my life.
There you go.
So it's like, that's my friend.
Friends I have, I've known for 40 years. I only had one that I've known for less than that, Cody, 25 years. The rest of the...
Pushing numbers over here.
You know what I mean? I posted a picture on Facebook not long ago, and it was four or five of us. I was like, it's over 100 years of friendship in this photo. Like,
and I take pride in that.
Yeah, like that's this awesome. Is real talk, man.
I feel like that. I love seeing like longtime friends, and I love being able to have one, because I don't have siblings, so that's, my friends are the closest thing to siblings that I have.
Right.
I call them my sisters. I call them my
Absolutely.
Brother. So, you know, to me that's important, and I'm cool with them. You know, I don't need, you know, I don't like to be mixy. I don't like group hopping and people hopping and this, that, and the third. I'm either with them or I'm by myself.
I'm going to tell you a secret.
Oh, with my family, that's
Real
it.
Friends will know you better than your siblings.
Exactly.
In adulthood, I promise. Because, you know, as you become older, like, you go different directions from your siblings, you know. And you'll start to spend way more time, and maybe not physical time, but more mental and verbal with your friends and things you share with regards to pain and, mm-hmm. you know, marital discussions and things like that. You'll spend more of that with your friends. Because they know what you're going through more so than your siblings.
Because you like to bounce things off of your friends.
Absolutely.
And hopefully, if they're a good friend, they could tell you
yep.
how to act based on how well they know you.
That's right. You know? Well, they will always give you the perspective of moving forward, not going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely. If you have a friend that says, man, leave her, like, that's not your friend. Like, because... The good friend would have never told you to be with her if they knew she was bad. They
right.
would have given you the reason why she's bad, but knowing and understanding it's your decision.
Right.
Or he. Like, they would have just talked to you about that and respect your decision. You know, but they would never go against your wishes because they respect the fact that that's your decision and that's your mate.
Right. Ah, friends. It's a heavy word when you really think about it.
It's real.
Because they're
hey,
so hard to come by.
I take it serious, man. That's why, hey, if you
so
in life and
by.
You ever have one good one, you did great.
Right.
Thank God. And I have four.
Exactly.
Man, that's part two. That's segment two, man. So we're going to take another break. Come back with the last segment on the Life Is Not Complicated Strong Opinion Podcast with the kid.
We'll be back.
To join our email list, please visit CarlosWallace.com.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
The other 99 times. Count your blessings. Season 2, showing now on NetNY.TV, Theo's by Verizon, Channel 48, Optimum, Channel 30, and Spectrum, Channel 97. Season 1, streaming on Amazon Prime Video.
Amazon Prime Video.
All right, we're back with you on the Life's Not Complicated Strong Opinions Podcast with the kid.
Part three.
So, man, before we go, like, it's a couple of things. I just want to talk to you about myself. In all the time I've known you, we've never really talked about this.
Mm-hmm.
So, what was it like growing up in a single-parent household and not having a father around? Like, what was the impact?
I could say that I was raised in a way that I never wanted for anything. So, you know, I feel like I can honestly sit here and say that it didn't affect me in a negative way. I don't think I act out because of it, you know.
No, I know you don't. I can honestly say that.
You know, I don't think about it. I really think more. I never thought about it. Funny thing, I never thought about it in terms of not being close with my dad or my dad not being in my life. I always wanted siblings. Like, the fact that I never had a dad never bothered me. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe subconsciously, maybe later on in life, I don't know. But I really don't feel like I have like daddy issues, or, you know, do I miss? I've had thoughts sometimes like, oh, I wonder how things would be if my dad was around. I wonder if me and him would be cool. I wonder if he would, you know, give me certain advice, or like if me and my mom are beefing, like I would, like, you know, sometimes I say, oh damn, I wish I had a dad to go to, you know. Mm-hmm. Rarely. Mm-hmm. But I've had those thoughts before. But I always,
well, you know, you can come to me.
I can come to you. And I should go to the male figures in my life more, but I'm just so used to a mixture of me being who I am and a mixture of not having my dad in my life. I'm so like used to it that I don't think, oh, let me go to those, or let me go to my uncle,
right,
or let me go to my grandfather. I feel like I guess trained myself to just deal with things on my own.
Right.
But I don't even want to say train myself, because that's just how I am naturally.
Right.
I don't go to people with my issues. I don't go to people unless I really need that ear. Mm-hmm. I tend to deal with things on my own, which is a good and bad thing. I know sometimes it could be terrible, because then I'll just have that breaking moment from just holding everything in. So I don't know if maybe having a dad there would change that, or, you know, maybe it's for the better. Maybe I could have hated him and it just would have been another disappointment, like how we were talking about, you know.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, from a guy that was raised by a stepfather, And I looked at it more like a dad, you know, don't get me wrong, that there are a lot of things that I just kind of kept to myself, even into adult life, because, of course, you know, my mom died when I was very young, as well as my dad. So a lot of things I just figure out on my own.
Right.
So it ended up working out better. Now, do I have tough moments? Obviously, you know what I mean? Obviously, because you do feel like you're in a world all alone. Mm-hmm. But it does make you tougher. But it does create dark moments as well. Mm-hmm. But we all have dark moments. Everyone of us does. But we're the tougher ones with the dark moments, right. You know what I mean? And I tell your mom this all the time. Like, I don't have a problem with my dark moments. I have a problem when everybody else pour their dark moments on me.
Yeah.
Like, leave me alone. I'm good with my stuff. Just don't pile your shit on me. Like, that's what I said. I'm good. Like, you know what I mean? And so I get where you're coming from. But I'll tell you, there was a defining moment, and it was years ago when you graduated high school. Like, you don't know this. You know, it was your mom I was talking to. You and Allison graduated the same week, like 2 days apart. Mm-hmm. And financially, I was in a funk. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have a lot of money at all. I was broke, let's go and put it like
right.
that. And Allison gave me the wrong graduation day. Like, she graduated on a Saturday, but she had told me Friday.
I think I vaguely remember this.
Or I think she told me Saturday, but it was actually Sunday or something like that. Yeah. So it was off by one day. So I fly in a couple of 3 days early, and my plan was to stay there through the graduation day and fly out the very next day so I could come to New York for your graduation. Mm-hmm. So when I get there, she's like, oh, Dad, you know, I made a mistake. You know, it's not Saturday, it's actually Sunday. And I was like, man, there's no way I'm missing my daughter's graduation. And the flight, the whole circle of flights was like $700 or $800 to go from Houston to Chicago to New York, back to Houston. Mm-hmm. So to change the flight was gonna be an additional like $300.
Right.
And I really didn't have the money. Yeah, like, and I was like, man. And I literally had to roll coins to put into my account, mm-hmm, to have the money to do that, just so I could make sure I was able to make your flight. I mean, make your graduation, right? And so in doing so, I get there. And even your mom didn't know that part, the financial part, till later. Yeah. I didn't tell her that. Because I'm still trying to impress her, you know. I couldn't get over the fact that when I got there, your father wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And because to me, a graduation is like the highest point. Not you, but to some kids, that's the highest thing they will ever achieve in life. Is high school graduation. Like, how many kids do you know? Well, you went to a pretty, you know, high grade school. So
yeah, but I know people who are on some, you know,
yeah, like that's it.
GED and haven't even finished high school. And to me, and I was just raised like that's the most basic thing. Like, how did you not?
That's it. But you know what I'm saying? That's it. Like, they're never gonna do anything else beyond that.
Right.
And they had from 0 to 18 to get there. Mm-hmm. But also, parents had from 0 to 18 to be there. And they didn't. And so to me, that hurts a lot, right? And so she and I talked, and I was like, how could that dude not come to the damn graduation of all things? And also, she was explaining to me that she was only allotted so many tickets. I think it was like 6 tickets or 8 tickets or something. And she specifically kept a ticket in case he wanted to go.
Mind you, this is the high school that he went to.
So and it meant a lot for him for you to go there. And mm-hmm. she spent a lot of money, you know, because in Texas, if you went to private school when I was that was a big deal. So when, you know, she's like, oh yeah, she goes to private school. I was like, oh wow, she goes to private school. Oh yeah, it's this much money a semester. And I was like, what the hell? And so
I think it was more expensive than my college that I went to.
And so when she explained to me, oh well, she only goes there because that's what he wanted. And then he didn't even come to the damn graduation. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, what kind of guy does not do that?
So meanwhile, you're thinking that, and I'm over here like, if he was there, it would kind of be on some like, what are you doing here? Because it's like, well, you know, like, and I don't know how he would feel if he really knew like how I felt about it.
Right.
Because my dad still has this impression that he can just
swoop in,
like everything is good. And I'm kind of just like, all right, well, you know, if you knew how much I didn't care whether you come or go now,
right,
it might hurt his feelings. I feel like he doesn't really want to like accept that, so he doesn't want to talk about it. Cause I'll tell him. I'll be like, at this point, I'm 25 years old.
He did it. Mm. He did it.
Mm-hmm. That guy's something else. My father, though, I still have love for him, you know, despite everything. Cause that's just how my heart is. That's my dad. That's 50% of me. So it's like, you know, we might not be close at all, but you know, I still wish him the best. I really do. So.
Now, I got a closing question, man, after that pause.
We had to take a little moment, right?
It's all right.
Take a knee.
So what in life would you say you complicate? What in life, in your life, do you say you complicate?
It's gonna surprise you, but sometimes I overcomplicate how I receive people. You know, I'm one of the most low-key sensitive people out there. I always
low-key don't surprise me. Sensitive does.
Yeah, like I always joke with my mom, like, "Oh, you're so sensitive." But yeah, I'm actually very sensitive. And sometimes, like, I complicate. For example, someone's having a crap day one day, and I come in and I'm like, "Hey," and they're like rude to me. I'll complicate, like, what did I do? What did I say to them? Like, that's kind of like, So definitely how people perceive me. Like, oh, did I say the wrong thing? Or da 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 da. Then I'll find out that it had nothing to do with me. And I'm just like, okay, well, I just made that very dramatic.
So. You got that from your mom. You got that from your mother.
I just made that very dramatic. And the reason, you know.
It's in your NDA. It ain't your fault.
It's in your NDA. The reason it seems so surprising is because I usually brush things off. I'm just like, okay, whatever. Which for the most part, yeah, I do. And I've gotten better at it over the years, but, you know, I definitely complicate that. There's a lot of things that, like, you know, I strive to change. Like, you know, like, it's either, I also have a thing where I'm either all in something or not in it at all. So it's like, I either care or go so hard about it. If it's something that I want, I'll go really hard. But if not, it's kind of just like, you know. That might rub somebody the wrong way.
It's all right. They get over it. I'm the same way. Either I care all the way, I don't care at all.
At all. And it's like that. It can't always be like that. Because, you know, sometimes you have to really consider other people when you don't care at all. Like, it's actually affecting somebody. It does. It does.
Because if you care, you do. If you don't, you don't.
But sometimes you don't. Sometimes you don't. I learned that things are not so black and white all the time. Like, I can't always move on some, like, it's either like this or like that. Because, you know, it's not everybody's like that. And not everybody's like you. So, you know.
That's true. That's true.
Not everybody's like you, Los. Not everybody's like me. So it's like, I can't, you know, I can't expect to get. I need people, you know. I need people in my corner. I need people to help me. So it's like, I can't be over here like, oh, screw you, screw you, screw you. I'm going to do what I want. You know, sometimes you really have to play.
You going
to
make that circle bigger?
You have to play the game sometimes.
Oh, yeah,
to get where you need to go.
Facts. You know, big old
you
facts.
You have to play the game sometimes. But, yeah.
No. One more life question. Mm-hmm. What in life would you say you focus too much on the one thing that went wrong instead of appreciating the 99 that went right?
I feel like, I don't know, I feel like that's a regular thing. You know how, like, in a day, you'll fester on the one person who pissed you off on the train, or, you know, the one person who screwed up your drink order. I feel like that's an everyday thing. Every day there's 99 things that went good that you could think about. To me, it's not just one big thing that I went through. To me, it's like an everyday.
It's usually something small.
Yeah, usually it's something small that will really ruin your day.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other day, I just came out of an interview, and the interview went well, got the job, da da da. So, you know, nowadays, I take time to be on some, like, you know, sign of the cross, like, thanks to God, instead of always being like, oh, why? What was me? Why did this happen?
Right.
Da da da. Like, it's just like, okay, you know, you have to acknowledge him when the good things happen, too. So, you know, I did a little sign of the cross, like, you know, looked up at the sky, like, thank you, God. Instead of, you know, beefing about the freaking guy who bumped me walking to the train earlier that morning, you know. So that's a constant thing. You always have to think about the 99 things in a day that happens, not even in a freaking minute, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you're here and you're in a better situation than a lot of other people.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
that in itself is pretty awesome.
Man, this is the best interview of the season.
Mm-hmm. I was glad to give it.
Look at God.
Look at God. Won't he do it?
Won't he do it? That's a wrap. Thank you, Ash, for joining us on the Life is Not Complicated Strong Opinion Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I loved it.
All right. We'll see you next week, guys. Peace out.
The biggest reward for me is how much it has inspired students.
I think something that really opened my eyes was when he said, everybody knows the information in this book already, it just takes a little bit of reminding. And that really opened my eyes to how I perceived the book from there on. So I really think it affected, but it was overall positive impact on my life.
When I visit campuses and classrooms and see the excitement on their face and, of course, overwhelm me with questions, that's my biggest reward. That's what I enjoy the most.
To purchase Life is Not Complicated, You Are, or the other 99 times, or download the audio versions, please visit CarlosWallace.com.
You are listening to the Life is Not Complicated, You Are, Strong Opinions Podcast. Please visit www.CarlosWallace.com. That's Carlos Wallace. We would love to hear your opinion.